There is a power, a deep organizing power, a man who pervades London. He sits motionless like a spider in the center of its web, but that web has 1,000 radiations and he knows every quiver of each of them. He is the organizer of half that is evil and nearly all that is undetected in this great city. He is the Napoleon of crime.
The Final Problem by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Michael Pennington as Professor James Moriarty. The Final Problem.
Equals L over 1 plus E cos theta. So, you see, gentlemen, by the application of quite straightforward mathematical principles, the mystery becomes clear. The minor astronomical bodies have yielded up their secret and stand revealed for what they are, the scattered remnants of another world, now lost. Gentlemen, I thank you for your patience.
The overall shape is that of a pyramid. At the base, the great mass of the criminal fraternity, recruitable at need. As we go higher, we ascend in layers, moving all the time nearer and nearer to the heart of the organization. Each layer has fewer members. Level 3 consists of 25 agents. Level 2, which is known as the High Table, of 9. These 9, and only these 9, have direct contact with a man at the apex of the pyramid here. Ah, any questions, gentlemen?
Congratulations, James. Scintillating.
Ah, Sir George, you're too kind.
Nonsense. It's been a long time since we had such a thought-provoking lecture.
Sir, I didn't allow myself to become, shall we say, too rarefied.
If you mean, did I follow your maths, my dear fellow? Of course I didn't.
Oh, dear me, dear me.
You will dine with us tonight, I hope. Just a few founder members. William Christie will be there.
Oh, my dear fellow, please forgive me. I fear I must honour a previous engagement. Oh,
well, if you must, you must. My secretary will arrange a cab for you.
No, that isn't necessary.
Nonsense. Least we can do. Jenkinson.
Yes, Sir George.
A cab for Professor Moriarty.
No more questions? Right, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Patterson.
Now, I don't need to remind you that next Monday's operation is the climax of 3 months' work. Don't let's have any mistakes. I'll be talking to you again before the day. Till then, for pity's sake, keep your mouth shut. You know why. Right, that's all. Mr. Holmes.
Patterson.
If you'll pardon my saying so, sir, you don't look well. This business is really taking it out of you.
He's a worthy opponent. I don't believe I've ever been so hard-pressed.
You're sure he doesn't realize we're as close as we actually
are? Quite sure, quite sure. He still believes the High Table is completely undiscovered.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we have a great deal of importance to discuss, so I would ask you to be brief and to the point. We shall begin with old business. Mr. Walmsley, the South African gold.
Procured exactly as per the plan. Colonel Moran has the details.
Delivery to our client?
All arranged.
Splendid. Mrs. Collier, the troublesome junior minister.
He will pay the agreed price.
Admirable.
The exchange has been set up for next Thursday, Covent Garden. My girl will hand over a full set of prints and the duplicate negatives.
The originals?
Return to the client. The money will be in the Colonel's hands by 6 at the latest.
Your usual efficient job, my dear.
Would you expect anything less, Moran?
Certainly not.
Enough. Mr. Aberstein, the removal operation. Mr. Aberstein.
Foiled.
Be so good as to amplify that statement.
The operation failed. Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes? That name has been heard far too often at this table of late. How many levels were involved?
Six, Professor. And all the upward connections untraceable. We are perfectly secure.
Let us hope so, Mr. Aberstein. For all our sakes.
Seven groups of men in all, with a sergeant in charge of each. Final details to be given out on Monday, just before we move. I reckon we can pick up the whole of Level 3 before they know what's hitting them.
And the high table?
Myself, two sergeants, two dozen men, broken up into groups of three and four, and arriving separately in unmarked vehicles. They should have no warning at all.
Are you absolutely certain of this?
It comes straight from one of Patterson's men.
Patterson should choose his underlings with more care. I expected better of him.
Does the man have any idea that this information will get to us?
Do you really have so low an opinion of my people, Moran? What? As far as he was concerned, he was just boasting to a common tart. Besides, the girl's an expert. She made quite sure he forgot about it as soon as the words were out.
He has no suspicions.
He thinks she's been hanging around him because she likes him. Big, strong man, exciting job, you know the line. He swallowed it completely. Typical male arrogance.
You may give the girl a bonus. 10 guineas.
I already have.
They have the names of everybody on Level 3.
That's what he said. I take it that Holmes is behind this.
Undoubtedly.
I thought you had him in check.
I did. Every move he's made against us has been blocked. Until now.
Are we in any danger?
Not yet. But Mr. Holmes must be dissuaded from pursuing this business any further.
Forgive me. I did not hear your knock.
You have less cranial development than I should have expected. It is a dangerous habit to finger loaded firearms in the pocket of one's dressing gown. You evidently do not know me.
On the contrary, I think it's fairly evident that I do. I can spare you 5 minutes, if you have anything to say.
All that I have to say has already crossed your mind.
Then possibly my answer has crossed yours.
You stand fast?
Absolutely. Now, be so good as to keep both hands in sight.
My dear Mr. Holmes, I have not yet discovered a way of disposing of my adversaries with my memorandum book. With your permission?
By all means.
Thank you. You crossed my path on the 4th of January. On the 23rd, you incommoded me. By the middle of February, I was seriously inconvenienced by you. At the end of March, I was absolutely hampered in my plans. And now, at the close of April, I find that I'm in such a position, through your continual persecution, that I'm in positive danger of losing my liberty. The situation is becoming an impossible one.
Have you any suggestion to make?
You must drop it, Mr. Holmes. You really must, you know.
You cannot expect me to agree to that.
No. A man of your intelligence must see that there can be but one outcome to this affair. It is necessary that you should withdraw. It has been an intellectual treat to see the way you've grappled with this business, and it would be a grief to me if I were forced to take any extreme measure. Oh, you smile, sir, but I assure you that it really would.
Danger is part of my trade.
This is not danger. This is inevitable destruction. You must stand clear, Mr. Holmes, or be trodden underfoot.
I'm afraid that in the pleasure of this conversation, I am neglecting business of importance which awaits me elsewhere.
Oh, well. Seems a pity, but I've done what I could. I know every move of your game. You hope to place me in the dark. I tell you that I will never stand in the dark. You hope to beat me. I tell you that you will never beat me. If you are clever enough to bring destruction upon me, rest assured that I shall certainly do as much to you.
You have paid me several compliments, Mr. Moriarty. Let me pay you one in return. If I were assured of the former eventuality, I would, in the interests of the public, cheerfully accept the latter.
I can promise you the one, but not the other.
Of the dreadful events of the 4th of May, 1891, there were only three accounts in the public press. Of these, the first and second were extremely condensed, and the last an absolute perversion of the facts. I alone know the truth of the matter, and I am satisfied that the time has come when no good purpose is to be served by its suppression. It lies with me now, therefore, to tell, for the first time, what really took place between Professor James Moriarty and Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Holmes!
What?
What in the world are you doing here? How did you get in?
I regret to say I took the liberty of entering through your back garden.
Holmes, what's wrong?
Hang on, I'll light the lamp.
No!
Forgive me, I prefer the dark. Have you any objection to my closing your shutters?
None in the least.
Ah, thank you.
Holmes, what are you afraid of?
Air guns.
Air guns?
You can light a lamp now, it's quite safe.
What do you mean, air guns? Holmes, you don't look well.
I've been using myself up rather too freely.
Sit down.
Thank you.
What's all this about? I thought you were in France. Here.
Thank you.
So, the French case is over.
There was no French case.
Hmm?
It was necessary to convince certain people that I was out of the country.
But it was in the papers, the Times.
As Brother Mycroft exerting some influence. Might I trouble you for a match?
Yes, of course.
I think you know that I'm by no means a nervous man, but it's stupidity rather than courage to refuse to recognize danger when it's close upon you.
The air guns?
One particular air gun, uniquely deadly.
Holmes, what does all this mean?
It's not an airy nothing. Look.
Why didn't you tell me you were hurt?
It's not serious.
I'll be the judge of that. Put your hand on the desk. That's it. Now, keep still.
Oh, sorry.
Holmes, what's going on? You look as pale as death.
I have been a little pressed of late.
By what?
You've probably never heard of Professor Moriarty.
Never.
Yes, that's the genius and the wonder of the thing. The man pervades London and no one's heard of him.
Holmes, calm down, please. That's better.
Oh, I tell you, Watson, if I could beat that man, if I could free society of him, I'd feel that my career had reached its summit.
Free society of him? What has he done?
For years now, I've been aware of a power, a deep, organizing power, behind every sort of case, behind forgeries, robberies, murders. I have felt the presence of this force.
A single individual.
He is the Napoleon of crime, Watson. If there's a paper to be seized, a house to be rifled, a man to be removed, the word is passed to Professor Moriarty and the matter is organized and carried out.
If you know about this man,
Why haven't you had him arrested?
He's fenced himself around with safeguards. He does little himself. He only plans. It's his agents who do the work. They've sometimes been caught, but the power behind them was never so much as suspected until I deduced his existence.
Do you have any proof of all this? Evidence?
Well, for a long time, it seemed impossible. I was forced to admit that at last I had an opponent who was my intellectual equal. My horror at his crimes was lost in my admiration of his skill.
Holmes, I don't believe you know what you're saying.
And then he made a slip. Only a little slip, for it was more than he could afford when I was so close. I seized my thread and followed it, and it led me to him. In 3 days, Professor Moriarty and all the principal members of his organization will be in the hands of the police. Then will come the greatest criminal trial of the century and a rope for all of them.
Holmes! If this man and his entire organization are within your grasp, why are we hiding behind locked shutters like a pair of fugitives?
It was impossible for me to have done all this without his knowledge.
He knows that you're onto him?
He saw every step I took, but whenever he tried to break away, I headed him off. It's been the most brilliant bit of thrust and parry work in the history of detection. This morning he tried to warn me off in person. Drop it, Mr. Holmes. You really must, you know.
Did you actually come to blows?
Oh, that's not the professor's way. At least not until his logic tells him there's no other possible action.
Then what's happened to your hand?
I was attacked in the street. 3 times.
In broad daylight?
I had to go out and do some business in Oxford Street. I was crossing Welbeck Street and a 2-horse van nearly knocked me down. Then a brick came down from the roof of one of the houses, shattered at my feet.
A brick?
Yeah.
Yes, forgive me, but this man is a criminal genius, and he arranges for someone to throw a brick at you?
I called the police, of course. They tried to tell me it was the wind.
What happened next?
I spent the day at Mycroft's rooms in Pall Mall. Now I've come round to you.
And?
On my way, I was attacked by a rough with a bludgeon. Knocked him down. The police have him.
They know him as one of this Moriarty's men?
No. No possible connection will ever be traced. Is Mrs. Watson here?
No. She's away on a visit.
You're quite alone?
Quite.
That makes it easier. Will you come away with me for a week? Onto the continent.
The continent? Where?
Anywhere. It's all the same to me.
Holmes... In all the years I've known you, you've never once suggested taking a nameless holiday.
Matters have gone so far now that they can move without my help, so it's obvious that I can't do better than get away for the next few days.
Oh. Yes. Yes, I think you should get away from everything for a while.
Mm.
I'd be pleased to come with you.
I'll start tomorrow morning.
If that's what you want.
Oh, yes, it's absolutely necessary.
Well, good. You'll stay the night.
No.
Holmes, you're not well. I'd like to keep an eye on you.
No, Doctor. You might find me a dangerous guest. I must go.
What about the air gun?
I have to take that risk. I fancy they may have lost my trail. Now, Watson, your instructions.
I presume I'm to go directly to Victoria Station in the morning.
No. Dispatch whatever luggage you intend to take to Victoria tonight. Use a messenger you can trust and pack nothing of value.
Very well.
In the morning, take a hansom, but not the first or the second that comes along. You must take the third cab. The third cab, do you understand?
Perfectly.
And drive to the Strand end of the Lowther Arcade.
The Lowther Arcade? Why on earth there?
Yes, Watson, this is vital. The instant that your cab stops, dash through the arcade. Mm. You must time yourself to reach the other end at exactly a quarter past 9, you'll find a small broom waiting for you. Get into it, and you'll reach Victoria in time for the Continental Express. Now, do you understand?
Where shall I meet you?
Do you understand your instructions?
Yes, of course.
A second first-class carriage from the front. A compartment will be reserved for us. Now, I must go. The lamp.
I beg your pardon?
It must be dark. I leave through the window and across the garden. If they're still watching me, that may put them off the scent. All right. Goodbye, Watson. Till tomorrow morning. Remember your instructions. To the letter.
Sir, Dr. Watson? Dr. Watson?
Come in, Jenny.
Doctor, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Is it a patient?
No, Doctor. It's the police.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Dr. Watson.
What's all this about, Constable?
Do you know where we might find Mr. Sherlock Holmes, sir?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. Isn't he in his rooms?
No, sir, he isn't. Thank the Lord.
What do you mean?
Well, sir, about an hour ago, near as we can judge, someone tried to burn the place down.
Oh, my God.
Doctor? Are you all right, sir?
There you are, sir.
No, there must have been some mistake. This can't be right.
The only reserve compartment on the train.
Well, then, this gentleman is in the... Excuse me, Padre.
Signor.
I think you must be in the wrong place.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll have to ask you to get aboard. We're about to go.
But my companion is...
Perhaps he's already on the train, sir. Making his way up the corridor. Now, if you please.
Oh, there you are.
Behind the door. Keep your head inside, please, sir.
Oh, Holmes.
My dear Watson, you haven't even condescended to say good morning.
Holmes!
Quiet, we can't relax just yet. Look.
What?
There.
Let me through! Let me through!
Hey. Now then, sir, that's not necessary.
That train must be stopped. Open this barrier. Stop that train.
I can't do that, sir.
Of course you can't. My apologies.
Regulations, sir, for your own safety.
I completely understand. Tell me, where is the traffic superintendent's office?
Are you telling me that was Moriarty?
Yes.
Oh, with all our precautions.
But how on earth could he have known our plan? He could hardly have recognized you, done up like that.
Grazie, signor. Mille grazie.
You didn't make any slip in coming.
No, I did exactly what you advised.
Recognize your coachman?
No.
It was my brother.
Mycroft driving a carriage?
Yes, the situation was serious enough to persuade him out of his usual well-worn round.
Yes, I can believe it. I was worried sick. I was convinced that they caught up with you.
So you've no more doubts as to my stability, Doctor?
I hoped I wasn't quite that transparent. Look...
Not another word.
In your position, I should have been every bit as sceptical. Don't think I don't appreciate your agreeing to come with me, even if it was only to chart my progress into complete insanity.
I hoped I might be able to help you.
Yes, and I thank you for the thought. We must plan what to do about Moriarty now.
But this train connects with the boat at Dover. We've shaken him off very effectively.
But my dear Watson, I tell you, this man is on quite the same intellectual plane as myself. Well, surely you don't imagine that I should be baffled by so slight an obstacle.
What will you do, then?
What I should do.
And what would you do?
Engage a special train.
But he'll be too late.
By no means. Yeah, this train stops at Canterbury, and there's always at least a quarter of an hour delay at the boat. He'll catch us there.
One would think we were the criminals. Let's have him arrested on his arrival.
It would be to ruin the work of 3 months. Nothing can be done until Monday.
What, then?
We shall get out at Canterbury.
What about our luggage?
It may help to throw Moriarty off the trail. I told you to bring nothing of value.
You anticipated this?
Yeah, we'll treat ourselves to a couple of carpet bags and encourage the manufacturers of the countries we travel through.
We're still going to the continent?
Certainly. We'll make a cross-country trip to New Haven and over to Dieppe. Would you be so kind as to inquire about the trains?
Faster! Faster! Here we are. We change at Ashford Junction for Hastings. Hastings to Lewis. Lewis to New Haven. Arriving New Haven Harbour at 4:15. Holmes?
Already. You see?
What?
There.
Another train.
Moriarty's special.
It can't be. He couldn't possibly have arranged it so quickly.
Didn't I tell you his web extends into every corner? He'll be here in a moment. Behind that luggage, Watson. Quickly, man! exhibits, you see, to our friend's intelligence. Shall we proceed? We'll stay in Brussels for the next two nights and then move on to Strasbourg, if you agree.
Certainly.
Scotland Yard have instructions to wire me at Strasbourg on Monday night.
Holmes?
He's escaped them. I should have known when I left the country there was no one to cope with him.
Holmes. I wondered where you got to. Are you all right?
I think you'd better return to England, Watson.
What? Why?
Because you'll find me a dangerous companion now. Man's occupation is gone. He'll devote his whole energies to revenging himself upon me.
But he can't possibly know where you are. When he discovered we'd left the train, he surely must have thought you decided to stay in England.
You could be right.
And in any case, I've never yet walked out on you when danger was near. I have no intention of starting now.
Good old Watson.
Would you care to hear my recommendation as your doctor?
I'm sure I should find it fascinating.
You said yourself that you've been working much too hard lately. If you're going to carry on the hunt for Moriarty when we get back to England, you'll need to be in perfect shape. I prescribe that we continue with the holiday.
Where shall we go?
Meyeringen, the principal village in the narrow and fertile Hassley Valley. Particularly of note, the Austrian tower and the church, erected in the early pre-Reformation period and renowned for its 14th century Old Testament frescoes. The beauty of the village and the surrounding area has won for it the title of the front garden of the Bernese Oberland.
What does your florid companion have to say on the more practical subject of places to stay?
Many fine hotels and boarding houses. And there's a list. What do you think?
Yes. This one seems singularly appropriate. The English Hof.
Two beers, mein Herren.
Dankeschön, Herr Steiner.
Thank you.
Bitte schön.
Isn't this a magnificent spot?
Yeah.
You can see two seasons in a single glance. Spring at the foot of the mountains and winter at the peak.
Ooh. Well, perhaps you should consider widening your literary activities to encompass the travel guide.
I shouldn't mind if it meant getting to places like this more often. I'd love to bring Mary here. Her health's not been too good lately.
Oh, my dear fellow, I'm sorry to hear it.
Oh, it's nothing too serious, thank God. Holmes, will you do something for me?
Name it.
Tell me about Moriarty. What's his background? Where did he come from? What's he like?
Which of those questions shall I answer first?
Well, describe him. Give me a thumbnail sketch.
He's tall and thin, rather pale, and with sunken eyes. He has a habit of oscillating his head slowly from side to side. It makes him look curiously reptilian.
And is he actually a professor?
Oh, yes. Or was, at least.
What of?
Mathematics. At the age of 21, he gained a chair at one of the smaller universities. His publications had a European vogue.
You're describing a man with a brilliant career ahead of him.
But he had hereditary tendencies of the most diabolical kind. A criminal strain ran in his blood.
In spite of his extraordinary mind.
Oh, his intellect made it all the more dangerous.
Amazing.
Not at all. I've mentioned to you before now that I would have made a formidable criminal.
You have. Well, no, I believe it.
In Moriarty, I see the man I could have become.
Yeah, my dear Holmes.
I mean it. I can see into the man's mind. I know what drives him, and I understand it completely. There's a beauty to mathematics, Watson, a joyful symmetry, an ultimate perfection for those who can find it. It teaches the value of order and logic and clarity. Eh? Well, in our different ways, we've both followed the same path, Moriarty and I.
I can't accept that.
Oh, it's perfectly true. We both try to impose a certain order on a chaotic world.
If my path was by combating evil, and his by embracing it. Well, that's a small enough difference among so many similarities.
Holmes, you're talking about a man whose record is black with unutterable infamies.
Started writing it up already, have you?
I've given it some thought.
I think, Watson, I might say that I've not lived wholly in vain.
Oh, my dear chap.
If my record were closed tonight, I could survey it with equanimity. The air of London is the sweeter for my presence. In over 1,000 cases, I'm not aware that I've ever used my powers on the wrong side.
Of course not.
And now I face the most dangerous and capable criminal in Europe. Your memoirs will draw to an end, Watson, on the day I crown my career by terminating his activities.
You really plan to retire?
My retirement would be a price I'd willingly pay.
Oh, what a beautiful evening.
Yes, indeed. This air is incredibly clear. The stars will be glorious tonight.
Yes, I've often thought that I should have used my powers to look into the problems of nature.
Rather than those of society, you mean?
Superficial problems of an artificial state.
But think of the injustices you've fought. Think of the people you've helped. It's not only London. If you'd followed a different line, the world would have been the poorer.
Thank you, my friend.
Herr Steiler, this is a most excellent breakfast.
Dr. Watson, you are too kind.
Ham is superb.
It is cured by my own hand.
Ah.
Please to take as much as you wish.
Thank you.
Well, tell me, Herr Steiler, did you enjoy your years at the Grosvenor Hotel?
Why, most certainly, Herr Holmes. A very happy time. But this is wunderlich. You are a mind reader. Herr Doctor, he is a mind reader.
Oh, you're not the first to think so, Herr Steiler.
But how did you know?
Watson?
Well, let me see. Your English is excellent, of course.
You are most kind.
And you serve from the left and clear from the right, as an English waiter does.
It is the only correct method.
But I can't see how you knew about the Grosvenor Hotel in particular, Holmes.
Mind reading?
No, nothing so esoteric. Only at the Grosvenor could you have learned the recipe for last night's fricandeau of veal. The sauce is quite unmistakable. I must say, I'm surprised that Monsieur Remarque divulged it to you.
He was my very good friend. It was his gift to me on his retirement. Herr Holmes, you are unglaublich, unbelievable. Gentlemen, for years to come, my guests, they shall be told of this, the Englishman who sees my life story in his fricandeau of veal. This is good, is it not? To hear you laugh so in my hotel, it makes me content. You are content also, Herr Holmes?
Yes, Herr Steiler. I am content.
Gentlemen, everything was well?
Yes, everything was very well, thank you.
And what are your plans for today?
What do you suggest?
The walk across the hills to Rosenlow is very popular. A little village, most beautiful.
What? Sounds ideal. Work off some of last night's dinner, not to mention breakfast.
Then Rosenlow it is.
Ah, but on no account must you go straight there.
Why ever not?
Because you must make this small detour on the journey. Have you a guidebook?
Here.
Thank you. Ah, yes. Here, you see. Here you must go.
But why?
Because your life will not be complete until you have seen the great falls of Reichenbach.
Shouting up out of the water. Steiner was right. I wouldn't have missed this for the world!
This will scratch your pen, Watson. A worthy subject for your prose.
Holmes! No sarcasm! No comments about cheap romanticism and pandering to the masses?
No, my friend. Not here. Not today.
Do you hear something?
Over there! Let's get back to more secure ground.
Hey, Dr. Watson!
Based. I'm Watson.
This note. This note, Doctor, for you.
It's from Herr Steiler. An English lady has just arrived at the hotel. Gravely ill, he says.
Yeah, Herr Doctor Blutum.
I'm sorry?
Hemorrhage.
Steiler says she's asking for an English doctor. He doesn't think she'll live.
You must go.
Yes, I'm afraid I must. I can't refuse. Will you come back with me?
No, I believe I'll go on.
Alone? Are you sure?
Herr Doctor, most urgent, Herr Steiler said.
Yes, I'm coming.
I shan't be alone. This lad can stay with me and be my guide on to Rosenlaue. I'll wait for you there. How will that be?
You will stay? Wegweisen Sie mein Freund nach Rosenlaue?
Ja, das will ich, mein Herr.
Very well. I'll be back with you as soon as I can.
Take care, Watson.
As soon as I can.
Now, Rosenlaue.
Wie lang ist... Mein Junge? Wo sind Sie? Hey!
Save your breath, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
I trust he's no worse.
Doctor?
You didn't write this? There's no sick Englishwoman here.
Sick Englishwoman? Certainly not. I wrote nothing.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Watson! Hey, Dr. Watson!
Calm down. Think. He's gone on to Rosenlaue. Exactly as we were. Oh, God.
Still leaning against the rocks, exactly where I had last seen him, was Holmes' alpenstock. The sight of it turned me sick and cold. He had not gone to Rosenlaue. I stood for a minute or two to collect myself, for I was dazed with the terror of the thing. Then I began to think of Holmes' own methods and to try to practice them. It was only too easy to do. There were two lines of footprints clearly marked in the wet ground. Both led to the end of the path overlooking the falls. There were none returning.
Dear God, they must have fought hand to hand.
Holmes!
Holmes.
As I retrieved Holmes' alpenstock, something bright and gleaming caught my eye. It was his silver cigarette case. And resting beneath it, neatly folded, and in a hand as firm and clear as if it had been written in his study, a note addressed to me.
My dear Watson, I write
these few lines through the courtesy of Mr. Moriarty, who awaits my convenience for the final discussion of those questions which lie between us. I am pleased to think that I shall be able to free society from any further effects of his presence, though I fear that it is at a cost which will give pain to my friends, and especially, my dear Watson, to you. I have already explained to you, however, that no possible conclusion to my career could be more congenial to me than this. Indeed, if I may make a full confession, I was quite convinced that the letter from Myrigan was a hoax. I made every disposition of my property before leaving England and handed it to my brother Mycroft. Pray give my greetings to Mrs. Watson and believe me to be, my dear fellow, very sincerely yours, Sherlock Holmes.
There can be little doubt that a personal contest between the two men ended, as it could hardly fail to end, in their reeling over, locked in each other's arms, into that fearful torrent. There, deep down in that dreadful cauldron of swirling water and seething foam, will lie for all time the most dangerous criminal and the foremost champion of the law of their generation. In an incoherent and deeply inadequate fashion, I have tried to give some account of my many strange experiences in the company of the world's first and only private consulting detective. But now, with a heavy heart, I lay down my pen. These have been the last words in which I shall ever record the singular gifts of my friend, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, whom I shall ever regard as the best and the wisest man whom I have ever known.
In The Final Problem, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Michael Pennington as Professor James Moriarty, Frederick Treves as Colonel Moran, Sean Arnold as Inspector Patterson, Anne Windsor as Mrs. Collier, Jane Whittenshaw as Jenny, Dr. Watson's maid, Terence Edmund as Peter Steiler, Richard Pierce as Lockwood, Alan Barker as Walmsley, and Norman Jones as Sir George. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Final Problem was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.